Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to have your college experience ruined by your dad who decided to move into the same town as you? Neither are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, as always, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I got that, New York City's big enough where two people can coexist.
You'd think, and yet he just keeps dropping on by. And,
well, yeah.
You know, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, to the local coffee shop, Dean and DeLuca.
Where his daughter works.
and they apparently have very good brownies, so.
Mm-hmm. I would love a Dean and DeLuca brownie.
Yeah. I mean, I love a brownie. I have a special brownie recipe, which I've made you before.
Mm-hmm. They're really good.
Yeah. So my ex used to work at a 5-star high-end restaurant, mm-hmm. and he stole the brownie recipe from the place. So mm-hmm. I have this special brownie recipe. It's from scratch, of course. And
obviously.
Yeah. You have to, I do all the measurements by ounces and a little food scale.
Wow. Very precise.
Yeah. So the brownies are very good. I like to mix up the chips. My personal favorite is a mixture of chocolate chips and peanut butter chips.
I like that mix. Yes.
It's so good, but you have to be careful when you're bringing that to a party or a gathering, because you never know who has nut allergies.
I would hate to have nut allergies. I feel for people that have nut allergies because it's not just that you're missing out on incredible things like peanut butter, but also you're in constant fear for your life wherever you go.
Keep your EpiPen everywhere.
And EpiPens are expensive. We can't, we're not getting into the healthcare system, but EpiPens are very expensive and I feel bad for those people.
Have I ever told you about the time where one day, okay, so I used to commute to New York City and I was commuting and I like, basically I would take the train or the bus to Penn Station or Port Authority. And then I would take a subway to where my neighborhood was in New York City. Mm-hmm. And one day when I got home, I was like going through my purse and in my purse was an insulin pen.
And you don't know how it got there?
I don't know how it got there. Like to this day, it just appeared in my purse.
Dropped an insulin pen in there.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't exactly know what happened. Like, I don't know if like how it happened. Like if like somebody dropped it in, if like somebody accidentally dropped it in, if it was purposeful, if it like manifested, if I switched from one reality to another. Like, you know, they say like the Matrix. Yes. And remember, that's not the first time like something like that just appeared. I told you about my COVID card.
Yes.
So like, this is like my weirdest story and nobody thinks it's weird. So I had like my COVID card. Remember when you like carried around like the shots?
Yes.
Wherever you went. And I had it and it disappeared. But it disappeared for months. Like, just I could not find it anywhere.
You had to get like another one or something.
I got a new one. Yeah. And I was like really like bothered by it because I was just like, where did it go? And then one day I was just like hanging out in my living room and I looked down in the center of my living room on the rug was my fucking COVID card. It just manifested there. Like,
did it have any dog bite marks on it or anything?
No, and I have it still. It just is like, and I don't understand how or why it appeared in the middle of my living room. Like, I don't know. Like, that's the biggest mystery. And I was just like, and I was just like, I told people and everybody was like gaslighting me at the time. They're like, okay. I'm like, no, this is fucking weird. Like it just appeared, but nobody cared. It was like a Matrix switch. Like you watch on TikTok.
Yes. That is probably on my list of like top five things that make my blood boil instantly, like 0 to 100 immediately is losing something not being able to find it. And I think part of it is because I have such a bad memory and like I lose things constantly.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Like I will walk into a room, set my drink down, and then suddenly I'm like, where is my drink? And I'm like backpedaling everywhere I've been. So this happens to me constantly, but it's the quickest thing to get me annoyed because it also is like, you're like, gosh, you're so stupid. Like, how do you constantly lose things? And the thing is, I never lose anything like of great importance, right? Like, I'm not someone who's like, oh, I lost my car keys or oh, I lost my wallet or anything like that, because those never move from where they generally are.
Because that was my general advice. Like, everything needs to have a space, a place, a space and a place.
Plus, it's the world. I feel like it's gotten a lot easier to not lose your car keys or your wallet because I never take my key out of my purse basically because I have one of the like push button. So I don't need to like use my key to unlock my car for anything. It just, you put your hand in the handle and it unlocks if you have the key nearby. Yeah. So I never need my car key. So it never gets out of my purse. And then in terms of like a wallet, I mean, most of us, I don't know. I know a lot of people use like, what is it? Apple Pay or like Google Pay with their phone. Yeah. I have Well, no, but I have one credit card that I use pretty much for everything.
You're such a millennial.
I mean, I am. This is how I live. So it's gotten a lot easier is what I'm saying. And like the same thing goes for like keys to get in your house. Like we have one of the like electronic things. So I don't need like actual physical keys. You know what I'm talking about? You've never seen those?
You have a keypad to enter your house?
So yeah, you can. Well, it sounds fancier when you say it that way. It's basically, you take out, you know, the deadbolt that most houses have. You replace that with this little thing and you type in a 4-digit code and then you can unlock or lock it. Huh. So You don't need a house key.
What's the code?
I'm not telling you. And I'm not telling however many listeners we have either. I don't know how we got on this conversation. But yeah, the world has changed. And I hate losing things.
Yeah. Can I tell you one more story?
Yes.
Okay. So like Adam and I were like going Goodwill shopping just like to peruse because there's like a couple
of things. You never know the treasures you'll find.
Yeah. Like there's a couple of things that I'm like looking for to furnish the home. And like we were like, okay, we're going to go to a Goodwill outlet. And him and
I were Goodwill outlets.
So like when we like Googled this, we were like, oh, like this could be. And like the facility is huge. Like it's a huge building. And we were like, oh, like this is going to be amazing. It's going to be like huge. There's going to be like discounted stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be like shelves and shelves of shelves. Like we were really excited. So we show up and like there are, instead of like a normal Goodwill setup where there's like racks and shelves, there's bins and bins. And everybody is on the like the side parameters.
And then they say go and then you just dig.
Essentially. So what they were doing.
This is exciting.
What they were doing was like they were switching out. So every 50 minutes, they switch out the bins. And I've seen
videos of this.
Yeah, we just happened upon like the time where they're switching out bins, but we got there. We're like, why the fuck is everybody like on the sides? Why is there bins? Like, what is happening? Like, everybody has like their cart. So they did the whole switching out bins thing. Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, like they're like, they basically, as they said, the rules are as soon as the doors close from like the bin warehouse, it's go. Like they don't even say go.
Yeah.
But all these people are experienced. They're in the know.
Yeah.
So they close the door. It's like the fucking Hunger Games. Everybody swarms in. They're competitive.
And
they're
we know nasty. You hate swarms.
I do hate swarms. I just, and like Adam and I just happened upon this. We were like, what the fuck is happening?
I mean, that's fun though. That's like an event. That is like a, okay. Okay. Was it similar to the episode of Friends where Monica needs a wedding dress?
Oh, yeah, and
I think what you need to do is you need to gather a group. I think you need reinforcements.
Yeah.
And you all need to be wearing like the same color shirt or something, like bright yellow, so you're all like easily identifiable. And then you have like whistles, just like in Friends. And that way, like, and that way you get the best bang for your buck. You can separate out and like get everything you need.
Oh, and then I guess like the final thing is that nothing is priced. It's by the pound.
You pay per pound?
Yeah.
That's wild. How much is it per pound?
$1.79 a pound.
That's not too bad. It's like meat.
Yeah, like I guess you can get like a diamond necklace and it weighs nothing.
I mean, I don't know. You could find a diamond necklace.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's Goodwill stuff. So everything is like a little broken. Everything's a little dingy and everything's a little sticky. So.
Ew. Oh, no, I'm out. As soon as it's sticky, no, I will not touch any of that.
I think that this might work better as a concept if it was one of those like Amazon return things where.
Yes, that is what I have seen. I've seen a video with the Amazon returns, not Goodwill. Yes.
Yeah, like I think that because like Goodwill stuff is like already a little bit creepy. And I've told you about thrift store stuff. My mind is like, how much of this stuff is haunted? Like you're taking in stuff that's like brought in by who knows who.
And like what if you're giving it a new life and then it like doesn't want to haunt people anymore. It's just like, oh, thank you for this new life and this wonderful home.
And guess what I found? I found a fucking Woody doll. And I was like, this is the saddest thing. And it was like one of those like big ones that like actually the life size of Woody. And I was like, this is like the saddest thing in the world. Like this is where Woody ended up.
Wow.
There's a snake in my
boot. It?
No, I didn't buy it.
I mean, it was probably cursed, so.
I mean, I think all this stuff is cursed. What did we wind up getting? We bought a rake and an outdoor shovel. This is the shit that we need, Jessica.
I know. It's just like, of all the things I was expecting you to say, it was not rake.
Adam got like this random whiteboard. I don't even know what he's going to do for it.
Okay.
He got a couple of games because he loves board games. He's trying to build up our collection to like 900 board games. God knows why.
Yeah.
And I got like this little like chinoiserie vase because I love
it. I'm sorry. What vase?
Chinoiserie.
Is this a brand?
No, it's like it's a style. It's like, you know, like those blue and white, like oriental looking vases that are very popular.
Yes.
It's that.
I just tried Googling this and I did not spell it right.
It's okay. I don't know if I could spell it, but
yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
Wazori. Okay, I got it. I got it. Chinoiserie.
Oh, I got it. That is a lot of vowels. Oh, wait, it's a lamp or a vase?
It's a little vase. It's a little vase.
Okay.
But it's the chinoiserie is like a style.
Oh.
Yeah. The
yes. It's like the
evocation.
Blue and white.
I just said that. Chinese.
No. But I'm trying to like, it's almost reminds me of like a more floral paisley.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like buildings on it. There's florals. Yeah.
I've seen this style before. Okay. Yeah. Definitely what you need is more vases in your house.
So that was hilarious. And like Adam and I just like happened upon this. Oh, and he got an HDMI cord. And I was like, you have plenty.
Doesn't he have a bunch of those? Everyone has like 10 of those you're not using.
But he was like, this is a good price. And I was like, okay. And then
yeah, it's 50 cents because it's price per
I mean, yeah, like it's literally nothing because it weighs nothing.
Yeah.
That was our adventure yesterday.
Wow.
And we just happened upon it. We were just like, okay.
I mean, it sounds like a fun event, you know, especially if you can find something good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. My vase was a little like, it wasn't sticky. It was it was like a little slimy.
But I
think like what happened was like, I think like some like random like soapy or like citronella candle-y thing gooped on it. So then I took like a random like dress that was in there and I just
wiped it off.
Yeah.
This is just, all hell breaks loose at this place. Anything goes.
Truly. Oh, anything goes. Yeah.
All right. Should we start talking about Felicity?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
True colors. Wait, no, that was
last. Season 2, episode 15. Things change.
Yeah.
Things change. Okay. So we got a lot to get through this episode. Where do we want to start? Let me break down the storylines we have going on this episode. We have Felicity and her dad, Felicity and the health clinic / Greg. We got the Elena and Tracy stuff, the Ben and Felicity stuff, everything around Javier, who's just a star and an icon this episode, and Noel and Ruby. Where do you want to begin?
Let's just talk about Noel and Ruby, because I feel as though, I mean, it is what it is. So like Ruby is just kind of still going through it. Last time we checked, Noel was like, I do not want to be a part of this baby's life. It's too much responsibility. It's not even mine. He's struggling with the fact that he still likes Ruby, but Ruby is having another man's baby. And we find out that Ruby still hasn't told her parents, which I found like, I'm not surprising, but just like, I don't know, like what's the end game here?
Yeah, I think she's just nervous to do it. I wonder if she's gonna, and I don't know Ruby's parents, obviously, but maybe she's waiting until she's far enough along where like they can't get on her case about like, oh, you shouldn't have this baby, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think she's still early enough on where it's like, it's too much. It's too much for her to contemplate telling them.
Right.
But I mean, I predict that like she's gonna, and like they're gonna, I mean, obviously they're gonna be, you know, not super happy about it, but I think she's gonna need their support. I think she's, do we remember where she's from? She's probably said it at some point.
Maine? I don't know.
It could be. She seems like Midwestern to me, but like I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, I predict she's going to end up just moving home for like with to be closer to her parents to help support her, especially now, because what exactly is tying her to New York? Like, she's mm-hmm. not going to be able to live in a dorm room once she has this baby. Like, and she's going to have a tough time supporting herself in New York City alone.
She's from Colorado. We were both very wrong.
Colorado. Okay.
Colorado.
So I think she's eventually going to move back there, but I understand where Noel's coming from, right? Like, Ruby wants to move out of his class because it's like awkward between them. He does miss their relationship. He misses having her as his girlfriend. And he says he wants to be her friend and support her. I just feel like this is a lot for Noel to take on, right? Like, this is Ruby's choice, well within her reason, like her right to want this, to say, keep the baby and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's going to be really hard for Noel to help be there as a friend for her throughout this entire thing.
Yeah, maybe. I think that it's going to be a lot easier when he doesn't have like financial and emotional stakes in this.
Yeah.
And then just be there as a friend. I think that that's like the kind thing to do. And just, I mean, what she needs, especially since she's not telling her immediate support system, are friends like Felicity and Noel,
yeah,
to just be somebody to listen and, you know, help her in the ways. Like, I mean, Noel has to create the boundaries of which he's comfortable with. And if that looks like being an ear for Ruby to vent to, or if he's up to like a, like going to an appointment with her just as like emotional support, like whatever Noel feels comfortable with, then Noel should do. But if Noel feels comfortable with like none of it, then that's okay too. I mean, everybody has their choices. I think that like it's a little hard to feel like Noel is not going to continue to be emotionally invested in this because he cares about Ruby. But then again, it's like, I don't know. Like, I haven't been in the situation. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. I think the move for Ruby should be go to this producer and be like, I'm having your baby. Like, I'm just saying, like, I think we all can agree that he should know that she should tell him at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And whether or not she's asking for financial support from him, that's her own decision. I think she could benefit from something like that. It mm-hmm. is his baby too. But yeah, it's just interesting. I don't think there's much runway left for the Ruby Noel saga. I feel like we're nearing the end of it. And I think part of it will be there. I mean, is the show really going to be like, okay, and now we're going to watch Ruby go through 9 months of pregnancy and then have a baby and all this stuff? I really don't think so. I feel like she could be one of those characters that's like a one and done, one season and she's gone sort of thing.
Yeah, I could see that. Or maybe like she pops back up by the fourth and final season and it's just a little cameo type thing. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
So you think that she's going to be like shipping off to Colorado soon?
I think so. I think that she's a little lost right now. And I think she's going to want the support of her family. And I think, let's face it, if you're that young and you get pregnant, like, how are you affording a place to live and going to college and doing all this other stuff? Like, she's got her work cut out for her. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it will be very, very difficult for her. So I could see her wanting to just go home and have that support system right there.
Mm-hmm. Ruby's baby would be like 24 right now. How does that make you feel?
Oh, awful. Absolutely awful.
Ruby's baby is currently older than Ruby is right now.
Oh, I feel even more awful now.
Ruby could be a grandmother right now, actually.
Horrifying to think about. Mm-hmm. So that's Noel and Ruby. I mean, again, Noel is being a stand-up guy here, right? Like, he doesn't want her to leave the class, but he understands why she is. Like, he's being there for her. He says, I will be here for you as a friend. Like, he's doing really admirable stuff.
Yeah. And once again, creating those boundaries, saying, as a friend, I will be here for you. I cannot be with you, but I, and I do like that Ruby was like, you know what? That is what I need right now. Ruby does not need a boyfriend. She does not need a relationship. She needs to concentrate on herself, having a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby, and then figuring out what she's, what her next steps are in life. That's what Ruby, like Ruby doesn't need a relationship where she's fighting with her boyfriend all the time over some random bullshit, like him not showing up to the art gallery on time.
Exactly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about Elena and Tracy.
Oh, I am feeling this. This is so good. I love it. Yes. I mean, Donald Faison is such, like, he just knows how to make an extremely likable character. Extremely likable in his own way. Like, this is very much like a Donald Faison signature. He, I mean, this character, Tracy, reminds me a lot of Turk
is that Turk name? Yes, from Turk, Scrubs.
From Scrubs. And I've said this before, but I was and am a big Scrubs fan. I've seen it multiple times. I really, really like that show, and I've always really liked Turk and his ability to be like unserious but emotionally interesting as well, because he's like a bro. Like, he's a bro. He's like, in the show Scrubs, he's kind of like a jockey bro, and it's like unique that him and JD are friends, because like JD is a cerebral doctor and like he's like a jockey bro-y surgeon, but he's a good surgeon, and that's what makes it interesting, that it's like you can be like bro-y and jockey and like just a guy, but also be extremely smart and talented what you do. And I just love the fact that like Elena just like is so competitive. She wants to be the best. She wants to study and just be like the best in the class. And she sees Tracy, who like at first glance kind of looks like an idiot, but he's a genius. It's kind of infuriating because he doesn't have to study.
He's one of those. Yeah.
To ace a test, while like Elena, who I think is extremely naturally smart, still puts in the work to get the grades. But she's like, you're fucking around, like you're a fucking idiot. And like she quizzes Tracy, gets every single question right. He spends like 3 seconds on the final exam or the exam that they're doing, gets a 99. Like, it's infuriating.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is the type of like romance storyline that I absolutely adore, because I like this sort of a couple where they can joke, but like push each other to succeed. They're both extremely competitive. And this is not new for Elena. This is they've established this, that her character is very, very competitive, especially when it comes to school. And I totally agree with you. He gives big, big, big Turk vibes. And he oozes charisma. Like he's just sitting in a scene and you're immediately like gravitating towards him because he's so funny and just enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And that's strictly the actor. Like,
oh, yes. Just
doing his thing.
Yeah. He like my favorite and very, very Turk vibes. One of my favorite scenes in this episode is when he finishes the test before Elena and he's standing outside the classroom door, just dancing.
I know. Like I've seen this from Turk. Like that's what Turk does. And it's just so good. And I love how the show is just showcasing this actor's strengths. And in my head canon, this is just like the prequel. Like it's the same universe. This is Turk in med school.
Exactly.
Not even med school. This is like undergrad Tracy with a T, Turk. Maybe it is. Who knows?
He changed his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is a continuation.
Yeah. I just love them as a couple. I love that they push each other. I love that they, in my opinion, at least, they both feel like characters who wouldn't want to admit that they have feelings first, you know? So mm-hmm. they're both kind of like playing this game up
they're
until
so much alike in a way.
Yes. And then it's only up until the, you know, the end or whatever, when they get their grades back on this test where she got like a 95 and he got a 99. And then he's like, what are we going to have dinner or what? Like, I love them already. I feel like we've both been kind of just waiting for this storyline for them. We've both been waiting mm-hmm. for it to kind of progress a little bit further. And I'm so, so pleased. This is the exact type of person I would love Elena to be with. Someone who's also very competitive, who's very invested in their schooling. Because I wouldn't want to see her be with someone who pulled her away from her hopes and dreams. Those are things that are very important to her. And so to have someone who not only understands that, but also feels very similarly, I think is so. But also, Sarah, they have going for them something that I called it out a lot in Dawson's Creek between Joey and Pacey.
Yeah.
Like, he makes her more fun. He brings fun into her life in a way that, you know, she can be a very serious at times. And I think having him kind of force her to have some more fun, I think is a great thing for Elena.
Yeah, I totally agree. My only concern with their relationship when it does come down to schooling is to see like Elena constantly work really hard, and then Tracy not having to work as hard, at least on the surface, but doing better. I feel like that's the sort of thing like is going to drive Elena crazy. But I don't know, like, maybe I'm sure that Tracy does, I don't know. Like, does he just absorb? Maybe he has a photographic memory. I don't know. He's just like probably a genius. Like, I just think that that's going to be very frustrating for Elena to be number two in this relationship. I think that if there's times where Elena gets the 99 and Tracy gets the 95, I think then that's going to work out really, really well, because then you're right. They're like working against each other to try to beat each other. But like, there has to be like a give and a take. Like, there can't always, it can't always be like Tracy getting like hundos every single day or foreseeably not doing much. Like, that will drive Elena absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And I think this is a great opportunity too for Elena to kind of live with the fact that she's not always going to be the best at things. Like, it's probably good for her to be confronted with that a little bit. Now, with it being, you know, her love interest that is the one beating her, that's a little difficult to swallow. But I'm excited for the future for Elena and Tracy. They're so fun.
Yeah. Well, you're extremely competitive, at least in like a gaming sense. Like, do you... And so is your husband, Will. Like,
very,
do you get mad at each other when, like, the other one wins?
No. I mean, I think we've gotten better about it. Like, we're still very competitive. We still want to beat each other. But I feel like you kind of, and maybe this is, like, getting older. Maybe this is just getting wiser. I don't know. Like, you kind of learn to let things go because you live with the person. Like, you don't want it to like ruin your day if one person beats you. And we love playing a lot of cooperative games as well.
Yeah.
And that really helps because you both have the same goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's very smart. Adam is extremely competitive, but he's also freakishly good at every single game that he ever plays. And that's whether it's like bocce ball outside or it's like bags or cornhole. Or it's like board games. Like, he literally wins like at every single game he ever plays.
Yeah, that would drive me crazy.
I don't really care because I'm just like, what? Like, I, number one, it's just like, and this is kind of funny because like his family is the same way. They're like, we know Adam's gonna win. So it's really like, who's gonna be number two? Like, that's the winner. Like, he just wins every single time. Like, I don't really care. And also, I think like, like when we play bocce, for example, which I do like.
I love bocce. It's great.
We keep our own score. And he's always like, okay, Sarah, like, what's your score? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I was like, whatever. I don't care. So he wishes I was more competitive.
Yeah, I think it is. If you're competitive, it's really not fun if the person you're playing against like doesn't give a shit. Like there's a difference, in my opinion, between like caring, but also wanting the game to be enjoyable and fun. Like I've really tried to instill in myself the like, it doesn't matter. Like this is supposed to be fun. Like, you know, who cares who wins? Sometimes I succeed in that. Sometimes I do really want to win, especially, you know what it is, Sarah? It's like, I've called myself, okay, I'm evolved. I'm in my 30s. Like, I, you know, I'm wiser.
Yeah, you're, anytime I get, birthday.
It is almost my birthday. Anytime you're I get
33.
Yes. I had to think about it. Anytime I get around my brother, I immediately, like all of that goes out the window because I want to stomp him. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to beat him into the ground.
Why don't you just curb stomp him and kill him by now?
There aren't any curbs in the neighborhood.
Okay. That's why you won't.
That's why.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so.
A little.
Yeah. So, love this couple. Let's dive into some of the Felicity stuff here. Mm-hmm. Because I found the storyline with her dad to be very interesting. You know, we find out he's on some medication, which honestly, in this day and age, it's like, who's not, for number one?
I love that he's like, Dad, I can't believe it. You were taking sleeping pills and antidepressants. You must.
Aren't we all?
You must be 3 seconds away from burying yourself in a ditch. Absolutely awful. And it's like, we have to do like, okay, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to talk to you and be like,
yeah,
Dad, do you have a problem? And it's like, well, Felicity, daughter, I got served divorce papers and I had to move across country from everybody and anything I ever knew. And I live in a shitty apartment by myself and I work a job that's not fulfilling anymore. And I begged my wife to come back to me and she said, no, I guess I'm a little sad. And I guess I want to take some antidepressants. And she's like, Dad, you have a problem. It's like, no, his problem is that his life fell apart.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, like
the sleeping pills are always so concerning because it's like, you can overdo them a lot, but, I thought
everyone does something like this, right? It's like everyone takes like melatonin if they need it. And like, let's face it, he is going through a rough ass time right now. He's in a new city. His wife is divorcing him. Like any one of those things is enough or nothing at all to like spike anxiety in a way where you're like, you might want to be treated for it. And it's really the fear, right? But this was interesting to me that he's been lying to her about working at the hospital.
That's a bit concerning. I think that would probably, I agree with Felicity, like that would set off major alarm bells. At first I thought that he quit, but it's confirmed. At first I thought that he got fired, but it was confirmed that he quit because just life got too tough. He's really sad and like he needed a break, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like it, and here's the thing, because I can agree with both of them. Like your dad is entitled to his own secrets that he doesn't need to tell you everything, Felicity, right? Like he doesn't owe it to you to tell you everything. However, I do think it would behoove him to be honest about some of this stuff with Felicity, because in my opinion, being silent about going through some struggles and maybe needing like medication to help you, like being quiet about that is usually not the most beneficial, especially if you don't want there to be like a shame cloud about it. Like I obviously this is the 90s where I'm giving them a lot of like grace because it's the 90s and it's not something you generally talk about. But all I'm saying is like, the more it's talked about, the less there's like this stigma on mental health. And it's totally normal for people to like occasionally need to take some anti-anxiety meds because of like life being difficult, as it is for a lot of us. I just wish he didn't. I feel like he was very aggressive about the way in which he was towards Felicity when she tried to talk to him about it. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, well, I have secrets too. And then he like throws it in her face that she like changed her major. And it's like, no, that's not what we're talking about right now. It feels really unfair for you to like throw that back at her right now. She just wants to be involved in your life and wants to help you. And I feel like, again, he's in a new city all by himself. The one person he has a really strong connection to in this city, he's pushing away right now. And she's also an adult. I think he should be able to like open up to her a little bit more. But I don't know, maybe Sarah, maybe he doesn't want to because it's like, oh, well, she's in the, he doesn't want to put her in the middle, you know?
Yeah, like I think that there's definitely that element of it. I think it's also the fact that he's an adult man. She's a teenage daughter. It's a weird power dynamic. There's a lot of pride. So I think that that's probably the issue too. Like, I hope that like you and I are more evolved when we have children, that we're going to be open and honest. I think like that was like a lot of like my things as a child, and like got brought into adulthood are shame based. And that's because like, I don't remember a lot of stories where like my parents were like, I went through something very similar, or like, I understand where you're coming from, or like, this is my experience. Like maybe there was times like here and there, but like, I really can't remember a time where I always felt that I was like a fucking weirdo that had like unique experiences, you know, like, and I think that's because a lot of people do have pride. And I think that like, as a parent, like you're kind of like there has to be this like you don't want to be their friend, but there has to be like this thing of like authority. And like, I just think that how I want to address parenting is coming from like an empathy first situation. And just like saying like, this is what I experienced. You're not alone in this situation or in this feeling. And I just like feel like I, with my child, like, yes, of course, like there's going to be like, you know, I'm not going to be their friend, but like, I am going to show them that I'm like a human, like that I'm very, very, very flawed, and that they are, I am no better than anybody else. And I think that like, that will just like at least alleviate a lot of like the shame that goes into just being a kid. And like, I don't know. I was definitely like a secret holder. Like I like didn't tell my parents like anything. Like if I had like a horrible day at school, or if I got bullied, or if like my friends like made fun of me in front of my face, like I never went home and told my family about it because of how embarrassed I was. And like, I don't know, like I just feel as though I just really hope that my child is more open with me.
Yeah, I think that Felicity's dad kind of definitely has more of like that like boomer parenting style of like, you have to be an authoritarian figure, like authoritative. You have to like, there's always going to be a distance between you and your kid, and blah, blah, blah. You have to look strong for them and all of that. And I don't think that's always, I think we've grown and evolved as a society. And like, that's really not the way to get a close bond with like your kid. And a lot of times that will lead to them feeling like a disappointment, and like, you know, that they don't know how to relate to you as a human being. And I think a lot of that is the secret keeping going on with Felicity's dad. A lot of it is based on shame, and that he's not doing well, and that it was Felicity's mom who, you know, started this divorce, who really wants it. He didn't really want it. And now he's kind of stuck trying to pick up his life and move on. But I did, to give him some credit here, because I don't want to like bash on him the whole time, I did appreciate how when she said, you know, the clinic really needs doctors, like, is there any way you can step in for a few weeks? Immediately, no questions asked, he said yes. I also was like, fuck you, Greg, because Greg, who's worked at a health clinic for a year, is questioning a doctor who's been a doctor for decades. Like, I feel like this is a very much a situation of like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, he doesn't have to be here, Greg. So why don't you like calm the fuck down a little bit?
Greg is so interesting because he is so strong in his convictions, yet he is 100% of the time always wrong.
Yes.
Like, he always comes at something and it's like, this is definitely the situation. I'm thinking back to the file deleting. I'm thinking to this episode where he's like, well, you know, he's probably just having anxiety attack. 100% always wrong. So it's like, he's such a fucking asshat idiot. It's ridiculous. So silly. Greg is so annoying. He's like pretty much like the worst character that I've ever seen in my life. I think that he sucks ass. So they're having this big review, which I don't even know what that means. I guess somebody's coming in and is maybe like auditing the situation or maybe giving them a health grade. Who the fuck knows? But they don't have enough doctors. So yeah, Felicity gets her father to help out at the health clinic, which is great because like this man needs a job. He is jobless. And also this clinic needs a doctor. They're doctorless. So this is like a great win-win for everybody. And then Felicity gets to spend a little more time with her dad because she feels bad that she didn't know her dad was depressed, even though he's clearly depressed. So this kid that Dr. Porter met up with is like having some sort of issues, and he's like, I'm concerned about his heart, like maybe he's AFib or something. I don't really remember the medical issues that he was having. Craig was like, oh, I just think that we shouldn't do tests on him because he's probably just having an anxiety attack or something. And then we find out that Greg was fucking wrong. Say that would be complete negligence in Dr. Porter if he didn't order these tests and this kid had a heart attack. It's like, you could have killed this kid, you fucking moron.
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's like, why don't you listen to the guy who's a freaking doctor, Greg? And like, obviously, he's trying to connect with Felicity, right? Like, Felicity's been there a lot. She's trying to help him out. So they're kind of bonding. We see them bonding at the end of the episode when Ben walks in and like he has like his hand on, I don't know, her leg or her hand or something like that. And it's like, obviously, we know where we're going with this whole storyline. But the only I don't either. And the only, in my opinion, redeeming quality about this storyline is Megan has a crush on Greg.
Well, I do love that, but I am so fucking pissed off at Felicity for not being like, I have to be away, because Megan literally was like, please, I like this guy. Please do not touch him. Do not talk to him. And Felicity, in true Felicity form, because I mean, I don't know, like she is so bad with her friends' love interests. I'm thinking about Julie and Ben, of course. Mm-hmm. Then she's just like, she's gonna just whore himself out to Greg, this fucking douchebag and a half.
Yeah. So here's where to play like a slight devil's advocate for Felicity. Her and Megan are not friends. In fact, they are kind of enemies. So no. I don't think she gives a single shit that like Megan also likes Greg. However, I think even if you're like looking at it from a very selfish point of view, Felicity should want to like not piss off Megan because Megan will make her life hell. Well, so I think like logically, it also doesn't make a ton of sense for her to like be going after Greg when Megan's interested in him because she can do curses and spells and shit, Felicity.
I was thinking the same exact thing. We already know that Megan did a successful love spell. Exactly. On Felicity, and we already know that there are probably voodoo dolls in the box, which by the way somebody, I forget who, because I'm not very nice, but somebody made a point for the last episode when that little girl was like trying to listen to Felicity's heart and was like,
oh, it was DBK, I think.
Oh, it was DBK. Okay,
I thought it was
maybe. And it was like, oh, you are heartless, you have no heart, we can't hear you. So
I don't know, in terms of like it's canon.
Seems a little canon. Although I don't know how Felicity's functioning without a heart. I'm not a doctor myself, but I do know
we're not doctors, and neither is Greg.
Yeah, you need a heart. Where was I going with this? I don't know.
That it's dumb for Felicity to go after Greg because, like, literally you never know what Megan could be up to. And Greg sucks. We all know that, oh, right? God,
I hate him. He sucks. The dick is trash, truly.
The dick is trash, yes.
He is ugly. He is not hot. He is the least hot option. Even Art, well, no, Art guy was much hotter than him. Even, what's the guy that was the art teacher's son? Eli? No.
No, Mark?
Mark? No.
I don't fucking know. Sound
right. Even that guy Carl? Was hotter than this guy.
David. I think. Yeah,
David. I hate this guy. I hate Greg, and I don't like the name Greg.
I don't think I have anything against the name Greg.
Well, I don't like any of it.
Do you like Greg or Craig better?
I like Craig better because my favorite uncle's name is Craig.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He's my nicest uncle by leaps and bounds.
Oh.
He gave me, talking about college, he like was very supportive. He gave me college book money. Thank you, Uncle Craig.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. I love that.
He was a Brooklyn physical education teacher for like more than 30 years. And now he retired and he lives in Tennessee.
Good for you, Craig. Uncle Craig.
He has a dog named Mac.
Aw, that's cute. Does he have another dog named Cheese?
No, it's a black dog.
I mean, so?
No, I'm just, I was saying that because I was like you now have a black dog. I do own a black dog. And I thought that would have excited you to hear.
Oh, yeah. No, I do like black. I mean, what size of dog is it? Do you know?
Racist against black dogs.
I thought you were just saying, like, it can't be named Mac and Cheese because they'd have to be, like, a blonde color.
No, I was trying to do that human thing where, like, you relate to another person. So that
I don't know what that's about.
They can like you and get excited because you find a common denominator.
I do love dogs.
Like, always. How humans react to one another.
Have you met this dog?
No, I haven't been to Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I want pictures. Anyway. Okay. So that's what's going on with Felicity in the health clinic and Greg, which brings us to kind of like the Ben and Felicity with a dash of Javier storyline, where Ben is obviously like jealous of the whole Greg and Felicity stuff. We all knew that was going to happen. He tries to distract himself by going on a date with a different girl, and she's actually really interesting, right? Like, she's done a bunch of traveling. She has a scholarship. Like, I think Ben was like a little shocked to actually find her fascinating. But the problem is when they start making out, his mind is on Felicity. And yeah. I'm happy he doesn't pursue it further, right? Like, I hate this storyline of like, oh, to spite this person, I'm going to go on a date with a different person. Because I always feel bad for the person who's like, you know, like the side piece, or not the side piece, but like the leftovers, like the, second choice.
Yeah. In my perspective, like, I didn't think that it was in spite of. I think that it was like, crap, like Felicity is like over me. I need to get over her. So I am going to like try to distract myself with somebody else. Like, maybe that's like two sides of the same coin, but
no, that's fair enough. It just, I'm happy that he was like, once he realized that, no, I do have feelings for Felicity, I'm happy that it was then that he was like, nah, I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah, like this is an evolved Ben. Like, he is not here for a casual hookup. He is not here to just fuck around. Like, he realizes that like he has like an emotional attachment to somebody, and he needs to take the time to figure that out. Which I thought was great. I totally agree with you. Does suck that he couldn't get it up though, you know?
I mean, yeah, but I think his dick only has eyes for Felicity
and that horrible haircut. Yes.
Oh, it's getting worse because it's at that really awkward length now.
Yeah. Like, where she has to clip awful. It.
So yes. That, it looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, by next season, it's going to be cute again. Cause then it's going to be like neck length. Like, it's going to grow a bit during the summer. I think, yeah. I hope. So I mean Ben was great this episode. I think that I really liked him trying to play basketball with Noel again.
Yes, I love that.
Ball so is funny. Life. Yes. I loved the scenes with him and Javier. Those are always the best scenes.
And, yes. Javier is an icon and a treasure. Yeah. The scene of him going to the bar with Javier and getting a pint with it overflowing.
Funny. Yeah. So he's like, okay, we're going to be bro to bro. I'm going to give you a guy talk, because Javier was basically like, I see you. I see you're sad. Let's have a talk. And it was so funny. So he brings Ben to the bar and they both have pints, because that's what, once again, bros do. And Javier, at first I was like, I can't believe Javier is like ordering a beer and enjoying a beer. And he like takes a sip and he's like, bleh.
It's yeah,
like, it's so funny, because that's how I am. Like, I have never taken a sip of a beer or a cider in my life without hating it. It's just so hilarious. He's like, Ben, I never told you this, but I had a girlfriend. And he's like, her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. And it was so, the delivery was so fucking funny. Both times I watched the episode, I audibly laughed out loud. It was so good. Just the line delivery. And he's like, no, like, she wasn't really a showgirl. I was just joking. But her name was Lola. And essentially, he starts telling the story about how Lola was like hot for Javier always. And she used to be like, drop everything, I need to have you now, in church, in school, wherever. Ben was like, Javier, what's the point of the story?
Yeah.
I think the point of the story was just like, I can relate to you. I understand. That was absolutely hilarious.
I love Javier so much. And everything he said this episode cracked me up.
Yeah.
You know how we like always the recipe line, like always is like a big one, right? You don't know, have recipe or something like that. Him saying, so when he first sees the girl come into the Dean and DeLuca that has a crush on Ben, he says, I think she has a little crunch on him. Like the way he said crush, it sounded like crunch. And I just love Javier so much. He's obsessed with like getting lipo. He keeps asking people like, do I look fat? This is very, very 90s, like the diet fads, you know what I mean? Like Slim Quick and Jenny Craig and all those other things.
Yeah.
Very, very 90s to talk about lipo. And I just want to say, and our friend Emily had feedback very similarly to mine. Let's not poke fun at Javier's weight. It is so rude. I think it was his husband, which makes me even more sad for Javier. Like, he shouldn't be trying to put up with that. It's not nice. Javier is just the best. I love every single person like when he says to Ben, like, but wouldn't my face look better like this? And he like smushes his face back. Mm-hmm. It's just like, Javier is the best. I also love that he's so out of touch with what's going on. As much as he is so involved in Ben and Felicity's lives, he's also very out of touch because he thinks Ben is hung up on Maggie, the married lady from a while ago, but it's Felicity. And I just love Javier brings the lightness and like the levity and the jokes that like we all need all the time.
Yeah.
And I just love him so much. I also think it's very sweet of him to be like, okay, Ben, we'll go on your turf. Like, we'll drink at this bar. He asks for like breadsticks, which I thought was hilarious.
He's like, do you have any nuts? Do you have like any?
Oh, he wanted like chickpeas or sugar snap peas or leech. Yeah. Yeah. Some kind of something or other. Chickpeas. It was very funny. I love Javier. And I feel like Ben got two great pieces of advice this episode, because he also talked to Sean about his feelings for Felicity. And I was so, so pleased, as our friend Emily pointed out, like the fact that Ben is like, well, why haven't you told Julie you love her? And Emily's response was, maybe it's because he's taking one step at a time. What a terrible idea to tell someone you love them before telling them you want to take them out on a date first.
Yeah, that's so true. I did think that he got a lot of, and I like how a good advice, and I like how that he's going to his support systems and hearing people out and taking their advice. Of course, like when Ben goes and tries to tell Felicity that he has feelings for her, he sees douchebag there and he's like,
Greg,
I'm not gonna do this, which is understandable. Like, we see this in media all the time where like somebody is going to go somewhere and tell them something, and then they see them either smiling or talking to somebody else and they feel like they don't want to do it anymore. Like, remember in The Wedding Singer where Adam Sandler
Julia
going to Julia Gulia and like she's like talking in the mirror and she looks so happy in her wedding dress, but in reality she's just like, I'm Julia Hart. And he gets like, oh man, like I gotta leave, like she's so happy and in love. I see this in media all the fucking time.
Yeah,
this does not happen in real life.
No, this really doesn't happen in real life. You're never like, and I also thought it was interesting. I'm like, how did he know she was at the clinic? Maybe he was just like taking a guess.
Well,
and he just like shows up there.
Well, if it's a Wednesday, then we know for a fact because she doesn't go to Dean and DeLuca anymore on Wednesdays because she works at the clinic. So she probably knows her schedule at the clinic.
That's fair. Yeah. But I do like that he's like, Sean, I think you were wrong. Like, I think I am ready to date Felicity. But I also, I wanted to give some credit to Sean because we talked about a bit about this on the podcast. Like the fact that he is waiting to say anything and just being there for Julie. I wish he would have vocalized that. Like, Julie's been through a lot. Like, he doesn't have to say the specifics. Obviously, there's Julie's right to divulge what has happened to her. Obviously, Ben knows about the one incident, but he doesn't necessarily know about the Eric incident. But I like that Sean is taking it slow and just being a supportive friend for Julie because she does not need a man right now coming up to her being like, I have feelings for you. Like, she's going through shit and she's trying to work it out.
She needs to go to her therapy.
Yes. And apparently, I'm so happy we're over Smooth Days. Like, I'm so pleased. But now we're back on Docuventary. Like, what are we doing with this?
Well, Jessica, I think that we're getting another Docuventary.
I miss the days of old where Sean had fun inventions we could talk about.
Yeah. We missed a mark this season. Like, I feel as though, like, his best bit was that every single episode he had a new invention. I think that's too expensive for the prop department. I think we lost some budget.
Yeah, the headache, you know, cure was really pushing the budget. Maybe it was the smoothies. They just bought too much like mayo. They're like, the mayo budget is too high. We can't do
that
anymore.
Maybe, or maybe it's like expensive like hair gels to keep Felicity's curls in check. Something happened. We didn't see any Julie this episode, but I feel as though towards the end, we heard like a Jewel-like song that kind of sounded like Julie. Is there a world that was Amy Jo Johnson singing this song?
Certainly. I could see them doing that. Yeah. I don't know if it was.
Yeah. Kind of sounded like her. I mean, I really liked this episode. I felt as though it just like kept things moving. We are getting into the final third of the season. So like there should be some excitement happening. But I thought it was really good. I think that Ben is kind of like the star of the show at this point. Like I just like watching all of Ben's scenes. I like watching everything that he does. I like watching him grow and process everything. I think he's hilarious. I think that he's lovable. I think he's adorable. I am just like, really, Ben is becoming surprisingly my favorite character by like leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I'm enjoying his storyline this season. I think like getting to see him find himself a little bit more has been interesting. I personally would like to see him have some sort of like revelation in terms of trying out different things for like a career path or a major even. Mm-hmm. I think that would be interesting, but I'm really enjoying him and Noel kind of having this like, you know, blossoming friendship a little bit, or at least no longer enemies. So really interesting to see what'll come up next for all of them. This episode to me was like, it was fine. It was kind of mid, like it moved certain things along, but I'm interested to see on the other side of this episode where things go. Let's get into some feedback before we assign a winner, because maybe we'll get some input on who should have been the winner for Truth and Consequences season 2, episode 13. Because last episode we called out, hey, if you have any ideas, who should win? Let us know. So we did get an email from Jamie, Who says, if Megan won last week's episode, then Javier definitely won this episode. He was hysterical with his liposuction talk and his talk with Ben at the bar. Although I'm surprised Javier doesn't realize that Felicity is the one Ben is all asunder over. I continue to find the writing for Ben very compelling. And I do like how they're highlighting Ben's insecurities about Greg, stemming from the fact that Ben is still pretty directionless and has nothing really going on in his life. However, the story would be better if Greg had been cast better. I sustain he's not a realistic rival for Ben. And I also cannot believe Felicity would be interested in Greg, especially how he treated her father and questioned his medical expertise when Greg has not even been accepted into med school yet. The Greg part of the story is just not working for me.
I agree.
My heart broke for Ben in that final scene when he went to the clinic to tell Felicity how he feels, only to leave crushed after witnessing the growing closeness between Greg and Felicity. Scott Speedman did an incredible or great job selling it. I that is like a really good contrast I hadn't thought about, Sarah, of like Greg being this, like, you know, he has a lot going for him in terms of he has aspirations. He wants to go into med school. Like, he's very driven. And Ben, as we've seen time and time again, is pretty aimless at this point.
Ben's actor is named Scott Speedman.
Speedman, yes.
There's two Scotts.
Scott Foley and Scott Speedman.
What are the odds that the two main characters are named Scott in real life?
I mean, Scott feels like it was a more common name back in the day.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
It could come back. I don't mind Scott.
I wouldn't name a kid Scott.
Yeah. The more you say Scott, the less it means. I think that Greg sucks, honestly, in all fronts. I think that, like, we needed like a somebody that was like as hot as Scott Foley and Scott Speedman.
I agree. He's, and I also just think someone who's less of a fucking dick would help too.
I'm so over him. I'm so happy that I know that he's just not going to be around for long enough because he's irrelevant and he's just the flavor of the day.
So, oh yeah, he's not going to last very long. It's like, he's going to last less time than freaking David.
I hope so. I mean, I didn't mind David. I just felt like, did I mind David? I don't think I minded David.
I didn't necessarily mind David. It was more of the storyline I was frustrated with because I felt bad for David most of it.
Yeah, David really got like pushed and pulled around a lot.
Sad sack David. Oh, he was a dick when she first met him. That's right.
Because he was going through stuff and
whatever.
Like, he didn't want to get set up by his mom. That was weird.
Yeah.
David's just the worst. But in terms of what we're saying here, like, I just think that it does make a lot of sense that this is the type of person that Ben is insecure with because he is like very opposite of him. Like, you know what I mean? He seemingly has his shit together. He seemingly has like a good job. He's smart. He's going to be a doctor. And I can see him like not passing med school because he's just a douche, but there's a lot that like Ben probably feels like he's not like good enough, but I think that he's better by like so much. I wish that he was more confident in himself. He just needs to find the thing that he's good at besides swimming. He'll get there.
In basketball.
And, I mean, is he good at basketball?
I don't know. He just likes to play it. Okay, let's listen to a voicemail that we got from Temi.
Hi, ladies. So there's academic competition between Tracy and Elena. Hopefully it won't be a quiz bowl situation like on Boy Meets World, BMW. Mm-hmm. Tracy is smart. He's like Steve Urkel. He's, although trying to fix walls instead of constantly literally breaking through them. Did I do that? So competition. Are either of you watching the Olympic Games? Les Jeux Olympiques, je dois le basket et des épreuves d'athlétisme. Athlétisme. See, I don't even know how to say that. Basketball and track and field. I tried to learn the phrase for track and field, so I guess I'll have to keep working. And then in honor of Tracy checking away in his perfume wearing, what are your favorite perfumes or scents?
Ooh.
For me, I like the Love Vanilla Rose Body Wash from Bath & Body Works. You know, one time I went to the store and the seller who walks around, she was like, "Do you want a more musky vanilla? Is that what you're looking for?" I was like, "No. Give me the flowery one. It's the best one. And your bathroom smells so nice." You know, and I don't feel like Michael Scott. I can pay for it. I don't want to smell like. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Sarah. So, Olympic Games. Are you watching the Olympics?
I'm watching less than I thought I was going to. Because of just like in America, the things that like I'm interested in, like the gymnastics, it's like at 5 a.m. I just can't. I don't wake up in time. It really fucking sucks. But I love the the Olympics. It's always on in our house. Like Adam has like Gold Zone, so it's like always on, like multiple TVs. There's like 8 different boxes. He's always watching something. Oftentimes I wake up and he has something on. So like through Adam, I've watched a lot of Olympics, but I haven't watched it like on my own because of the time. How about you?
I'm not an Olympics person. I really only consume it when it's on TikTok. I love Simone Biles. I have to say, I find her to be incredibly charismatic, obviously like so supremely talented. So I do like, if I happen upon a TikTok of her, I will stop and watch it because I find it like really, really intriguing. But no, I'm not into sports. And that really like includes the Olympics. It's just too much. Like you said, it's like, it's on all the time and I just don't have the dedication. So
I do watch it with Adam. Like it's like on Gold Zone, which is kind of like Red Zone. It's just like multiple screens and they switch from thing to thing, from event to event. We like really got a kick out of fencing because we just don't get it. Like it's just
sort of fighting, but real.
I know. It's just kind of difficult to absorb. In terms of scents, my favorite perfume is Burberry Brit. What, you like Burberry Brit?
Literally was on my list to mention.
Wow, I love Burberry Brit.
I love Burberry Brit. It's so, so heavenly smelling, yes.
Yeah, so I wear that. I used to have a ton of perfumes, but ultimately I kind of just landed on wearing Burberry Brit all the time, which is my choice. I have like a Dior perfume that I don't mind. I have this like Glossier perfume that everybody on TikTok was like, "You need to get this. It's like so good. It mixes with your pheromones, blah, blah, blah." It smells like shit. I hate it. That was like the worst thing that I got influenced on in my life. It was god awful. I always like Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue. In terms of in terms of Bath & Body Works, I like my candles and my scents in my home to smell like a sweaty man that just got in from chopping wood. So my favorite is like mahogany teak wood or black tie. I like the musky man scents, which is very funny because Adam is very, very, very different. So he likes anything sweet, like cupcakes, vanilla, bullshit like that.
So for perfume, Burberry Brit, like you mentioned, I love Burberry Brit. I like the Aqualina Pink Sugar. It's like very, very sweet. Like
very different vanilla. Than Burberry Brit.
It is. Yeah. I have a couple perfumes. There are other ones, but I don't remember the names of them that are for like different sorts of occasions, but those are like the top ones I can think of. And then in terms of Bath and Body Works, when I was a kid, I used to love Warm Vanilla Sugar, which I still tend to like, but I'm with Adam. I enjoy food scented candles and wax melts. I do not like the outdoor smells. The only ones I really like are like the Christmas tree smell, but to me, mm-hmm. that is a December only smell.
Yeah.
It is not allowed in the house unless it's December.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Like, I feel as though, like, I'm not alone in the man sense. Like,
no, Will loves the smell of like the trees and those ones. Like, he loves that scent, those scents. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like cinnamon. I just love really cinnamon. Like more masculine scents. Yeah. I love
mine is like the alone. Sugary, the sugarier the better for my smells. Ew. Yeah.
Yeah. I like men's. I just want my home to smell like a man. That's that's what it is. I've said this before.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear what DBK has to say this week.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, so no new setup for my setup. I was probably just excited to bash Ben, so I was probably like up on the mic. This episode, we get some pretty funny stuff for it kind of being like a downer episode, I guess, like with Felicity and her dad. But funny stuff with Ben and Javier and Tracy and Elena. I would just also like to point out, how do we feel about like Tracy smelling Elena? Because I feel like if like Richard did that, it wouldn't get like the same response. But yeah, from last episode or like from this season, you were talking of the Megan of it all. We get her and Greg again this episode. I'm just curious about the dynamic between her and Ben. Could you just maybe discuss that a little more? I'd like to get like, why do you think Megan is snippy at Ben? And I think that's it. Yes. And the Sean of it all. I'd like to point out that Sean is sending DocuVentury off to the IFC. That was like a small thing that happened this episode. We should note that. And then I like that Sean says what I said long ago, right, about Julie. Like, Julie doesn't see Sean for Sean, right? Like, Julie's shallow, basically, is what Sean is saying. Like, she doesn't see him. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
Okay. Let's get into Tracy sniffing Elena. I think this is fine because they've already been flirty with each other. If it's like a stranger that's coming up and commenting on how you smell, that's weird and gross and creepy. If it's someone you've actively been flirting with and have like established some sort of like relationship with in terms of like friendship, you know, maybe more, I think it's fine.
When did this happen?
They sat down and he was like, oh, you're wearing that perfume again or something like that.
Okay. So it wasn't like he came up to her and was like,
no, okay. No, I'm going to go. No.
Okay. Okay. Cause I was envisioning that. No, I mean, if you're sitting down and you can just smell somebody, I think it's okay to compliment what they're wearing. I don't know. But if you're like sniffing, like I was envisioning, you know, when like Tracy leaves the testing room and he like reaches down and is like, good luck to her.
Yeah.
If he reached down and sniffed her, that would be fucking creepy as hell.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. It's all in the way you do it, too.
It's in the delivery of the sniff.
Yeah.
ew. Megan and Ben, I feel as though I love Megan and Ben's dynamic. I think we talked about that last episode or the episode before of them sniping at each other. I think, in my opinion, like Megan was so fucking sick of Felicity in their freshman year, like talking about Ben or leaving messages with Ben or Ben coming over. I think that there's deep down inside, like, I think that Megan likes Felicity as much as she likes any other person in the world. So, like, I think that she's, like, a little protective of Felicity with Ben. So I think, in my opinion, that is why Megan is rude to Felicity, but I mean, excuse me, rude to Ben. But I also think that Megan is rude to like literally everybody. So I don't think that anybody is really immune, I guess, except Greg, to her snippiness.
Yeah, I looked at it as Megan is snippy with anyone Felicity would call a friend. And also probably that she got sick and tired of hearing Felicity talk about Ben all year last year. So I think that's why she's a little snippy with him. Plus, I just think they have a fun, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
And in terms of Sean saying like Julie is shallow, I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying she obviously isn't interested in me, so I'm not going to like put her in that position. Like, she, why bother like exploring my feelings when I know she doesn't reciprocate them?
There's that, and also like she is not in the place, and I think that that's like really nice of a guy to think like, hey, like this is not going to work out for me right now very well if I put myself out there. Like, it's very, he's thinking of her first, and which is really, really, really nice.
We also got so much feedback about how you intentionally spoiled yourself.
Oh no.
Yeah. People were shocked and appalled.
People weren't happy with me. Look, I don't mean to be horrible, but sometimes I am.
I don't mean to purposefully spoil myself.
It's not great. Like, I know this about myself. Like, I know it's not good. I know, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I can just not Google. That would be good.
That would be the thing. You just don't Google. Yeah.
Or I can, if I have a question, like me trying to find out where Ruby is from, I didn't have to Google that just now. I could have asked
someone.
I could have asked. I didn't spoil myself on anything besides the fact that she is from Colorado. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. I am sorry for my sins.
There you go. Okay, who do we want to give the point to this episode? I feel like there's an obvious
Javier.
Yes, obviously. Javier is going to get the point. Yeah. He's a legend. We love him.
We love him.
Next week, do you want to know what the title of next week's episode is?
Yes.
Revolutions.
Every single week, I keep getting a song stuck in my head whenever I hear the this, because like True Colors, you see your true colors, yeah. And then things were like, things changed. I thought of like the Taylor Swift song, everything has changed, blah blah blah. And then this week it's like the Hamilton song, like,
yeah. Welcome to the revolution. Yeah incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly, I feel like these like titles have meant nothing the past few episodes, truly. Like, ever since Truth and Consequences, it's like, what do these titles even mean? Nothing.
I don't know.
So
do titles of shows even matter?
It depends on the show.
Yeah. I finished Breaking Bad. Have you ever heard of the indie show Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I've seen it once or twice, or, you know, like four times probably.
It hasn't really taken off much.
No one talks about that show.
But I finished it. I liked it a lot. It was probably the best television show I ever watched, maybe.
Whoa.
I mean, it was very, very good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What did you think of Marie's entire life being purple?
I thought it was interesting. Like, do we know why? Like, what it meant?
Do you know the whole color theory with Breaking Bad?
You know, I heard of it before I started watching it, but I kind of forgot about it. And then I re-reminded myself about it. So kind of, but not really.
Yeah. So like, you know, the whole thing with like Walter wearing beige when he is like being himself, and then he like Heisenberg's and Breaks Bad, and everything he wears is black. Mm-hmm. Jesse wears like red and yellow when he's like being bad, and like, I can't, more neutral mm-hmm. colors, I think, when he's being good. Mm-hmm. Skylar tends to wear a lot of blue because it's like a purity sort of thing.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Breaking Bad is incredible television. I think it's one of those shows that really doesn't really have a bad episode. Like, there's maybe an episode or two that you're like kind of like meh on, but for the most part,
I was never bored.
Did you like the fly episode where there was a fly loose in the lab?
I mean, yeah, I know that's like a very big favorite. It's not my favorite, but
it's a controversial one. Some people hated it. Some people loved it.
I never hate anything, really. But no, I mean, like, I liked it. I liked it. I mean, my favorite season was season 4. Like, I really liked the whole Gus.
Gus Fring is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I loved that storyline and like that whole arc. And seeing how that played out was extraordinary. I really liked it. I like literally yelped loudly when why am I trying to like not spoil this very
Breaking Bad spoilers abound, so be careful.
Yeah, when his face got blown off and we see him like with half a face, I made a very loud noise. It was shocking. And then in terms of like, I mean, I just fucking hated Walter so much by the end of it. It was wild. I mean, does anybody like him?
So I think in the very beginning, there were
There
were people who would defend him, but I feel like he got less and less defense. His actions were less and less defensible, like as time went on. Mm-hmm. I think by the end, I mean, I think everyone fell in love with Jesse. I don't think there's a single person that was like, Jesse sucks. Like, I think you feel for him in many, many ways. Like, I'm thinking of the episode where he goes home to see his parents and they're like so judgmental of him and they only like give a shit about his brother. Yeah. And obviously all the Jane stuff is really awful. Yeah. Like, I think did you guys watch El Camino, the movie they made after?
No.
You should watch that. It's like pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. It's decent.
Okay.
Before jumping into Better Call Saul, which is
we have already jumped into Better Call Saul. We watched one episode so far.
People love Better Call Saul. I think it's everybody.
Have
obviously
you watched you're my it?
Yeah, I've seen all of Better Call Saul.
What? I did not know that you've watched all this shit. You know, it's such like an unknown show. Like, it's so indie. Like, I didn't think that like you really got into such unknown shows. I had no idea.
Yeah, I've seen all of it. Breaking Bad is Will's favorite show, like of all time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
He loves it. Yeah. I mean, I like Better Call Saul is a different vibe for sure.
Is it funnier? Because I love Saul and I love his like bullshit.
I think it's funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funnier. It's also less like less intense in the ways that Breaking Bad was, I think.
Mm-hmm. I got so emotional last night because I was just like... Because, like, you know, Walt was just like, he's like, I feel like I do nothing. Like, I make no difference in the world. Like, I, like, literally, before, like, when he was a teacher. And, like, nobody takes me seriously. Nobody listens to me. And, like, we see, like, Jesse, like, being like, science is bullshit. Like, when I was in your class, I didn't pay attention. But then, like, when right before Walt died, he was like walking around the lab and seeing like, oh, like this gauge is exactly at 90 as it should be, and like everything is like clean. As it's like he like realized like I did make a difference, like I was a teacher, like I taught him this, like it was like bad stuff, but like I made a difference in the world, in this kid's life, and like he was like happy about that. I got very emotional. I shed a little tear.
They're incredible characters. Like, it's, I mean, Jesse Pinkman, I think people find him relatable in the ways of like, oh, I'll never amount to anything, and people just kind of have given up on me. And the fact that he did learn from Walt and he had like all of this knowledge later on, and Walt always doubted him, and obviously there was like jealousy involved.
I hated that so much. My favorite characters, I did like Jesse. He wasn't like, I mean, I loved Mike, I loved Gus, and I loved Saul. And I don't know. So why was Marie purple?
That was just her color scheme. Vibes. Every character had like a color scheme.
Yeah.
And Marie's was purple. And very I don't know purple. That there was like a reason for her having purple specifically, but that was her color scheme.
I liked her little shoplifting issues.
See, I hated that storyline. That's like the most pointless storyline of all of Breaking Bad was Marie shoplifting.
Was she a doctor? She was in the medical.
No, she was a nurse, I think.
Okay, but I mean, still, even though.
Well, no, she's in the medical field, was a nurse, I think.
Yeah, she was just like shoplifting, just for the fun of it. Fucking
shits and gigs.
Yeah, baby Molly got like the little crown.
Tiara, a fucking tiara for a
tiara. Baby? Yeah, that was like $600. Hilarious. Ridiculous. Yeah,
but
Baby Holly was an icon. What? Oh my God, that actor, that baby was so talented when he was, when Walt was holding baby Holly, uh-huh. and he's like, I have you. And then on command, this baby is like, mama, mama, mama. What a, give that kid a fucking Emmy. How did she do that? She was like 0 years old and she was like, mama, mama, at the exact time that she needed to. Genius. Yeah. That kid is fucking genius.
What a talent.
Yeah. So that's my review of the very unheard of show Breaking mm-hmm. Bad. And that's with the two B's. It's not Breaking Dad with a B, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have to keep us up to date while you're watching Better Call Saul.
That very, very indie show, Better Call Saul. S-A-U-L. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be very interested to hear your thoughts on the characters, the recurring characters on Better Call Saul, because they're pretty great.
I mean, I saw Mike and I was happy, mm-hmm. so.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love the show because you love Mike and Saul, so I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm very. Who is your favorite character? Baby Holly?
In Breaking Bad or in Better Call Saul?
Breaking Bad.
Jesse. Love Jesse.
But that baby was very talented.
I don't care about the baby. That's about that. I don't care.
I was very invested in Baby Holly's life, actually.
Okay. I wasn't. I was like, why is this baby around? We don't need the baby here.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, that's it. All right. You can find us on our social medias.
You know where to find us.
Whatever. Also. Yeah. All sorts of things.
Go find us there. We'll be back next week with another episode, season 2, episode 16 of Felicity. Until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.